Let's pray, because we're not going to have time to sing. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together as Bible students to feed on your holy word, to learn from the word of the living God. It's life to those that find it. It's health to all our flesh. I pray that all of our hearts will be open to receive and that the love of God that's in us will manifest. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I think most everybody, unless you're living in a cave somewhere, understand that Israel was brutally attacked and they're fighting for their life. As a minister, I'm going to take a week off from what I had planned and at least discuss this for a little while in the context of Jesus Christ's return. It's a shame. Does anybody else? I don't think you get the impact without having it up here. Let me read this first, what I wrote on Facebook and what I'm going to make a conscious decision to quit writing. I'm going to just have to. The brutal, and here's what I wrote. And by the way, you can go to my Facebook page and see this. And, you know, if you press like, nobody's going to hurt you. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Here's what I wrote. The brutal attack on Israel further demonstrates the evil of the progressive socialist in the Democratic Party. They hate Christians and Jews, and they will stop at nothing to see them destroyed. Raise your hand if you think Joe Biden has the intelligence or energy to do anything productive. Now listen to this. They are coming for us next. I know I'll only get a response from a select group of my Facebook friends. Everyone else is too busy living the American dream. I'll throw this in. Everyone else is too busy going to the Tennessee Volunteer football game where 100,000 people watched it. Too many people are too busy going to the league championship series in Arizona, which, by the way, we have to give shout-outs to James Taylor for having a team in the championship. But this year, he's met his match. He's facing the mighty Arizona Diamondbacks. I didn't get any amens on that, but all right. Anyway, everyone else is too big. And again, is there anything wrong going with the football game? No. But there's just something wrong. I watched Kentucky choke again yesterday in football. Everyone else is too busy living the American dream or is afraid by liking my post they might lose some friends. Don't say you haven't been warned. Okay? That's what I wrote when I found out about what happened in Israel. And I got 16 likes out of 400 friends. 16 likes out of 400 friends. Again, I'm not a perfect person. Frank, you know that probably better than anybody. And that really hurts my heart. It just hurts my heart. And so what I'd like to do is not have to worry about any response. And I'm going to quit putting out secular posts. I've just made a decision. I'm not going to do it anymore. It's obvious that people don't care enough to worry about it. They do care about football and baseball and basketball and whatever. But listen to me, friends. Listen to me very carefully. And how many of you know I'm not a doom and gloom preacher? I've never been a doom and gloom preacher. But they're coming for us. And they're already here. They already know for a fact that there's several hundred known terrorists on the terrorist watch list that have crossed our border illegally, and they're already here. I don't want to scare anybody. We shouldn't be afraid. Greater is the God in us than the devil that's in the world, but they're coming. And it's not, they're not, here's, I got to explain this to you, because this is, so many ministers don't get this. God bless them. Go to Andrew Womack's website, download everything you can about grace, learn something. It's changed my whole life. They're not coming because God's wrath on America. God's wrath's not on anybody. The wrath of God was lifted with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All that God is doing for people right now is trying to get as many people saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. People have a hard time understanding that because, listen, if you really would think about it, if God's wrath was here, none of us would be here. None of us. But, see, people misunderstand that. And then people say, well, what do you mean? I mean, can people do these things? No, they're going to reap what they sow. Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. The law of sowing and reaping is still in effect. And if you've not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the grace of God's never been applied to your heart, never been applied to your heart, and you're going to perish under the law of sin and death. It's not good news, but it doesn't mean God's doing this. God didn't, obviously, every clear-thinking Christian knows God didn't want Israel bombarded and have them fighting for their survival because God loves Abraham. Amen? And God loves Abraham's children. And he loves us because we're children of the living God. We're on a greater relationship plane even than him. But the devil throughout all of history has always tried to kill Jews and Christians. He'll never get over the fact that through the Jewish people, the Lord Jesus Christ came and the Lord Jesus Christ conquered him. He defeated him. The book of Colossians says he made a public spectacle over him and triumphed over him. Amen. And the devil knows he's defeated, but most Christians don't know it. Well, yeah, most the world doesn't know he's defeated because the world don't even know he exists. But most Christians don't understand that, and so the devil takes advantage of our ignorance. But he's a defeated foe. But he will spend the rest of his existence trying to kill Jews and Christians. And there's a segment of the American population that is totally and completely corrupt, and it starts at our secular universities in America. There are students all over this country in secular universities, and I hope it's not in Christian universities, who are out supporting what Hamas did to Israel. That's what they're teaching our kids in higher education. They are teaching our kids to hate white people, unless it's a powerful white man. They don't want them to hate Joe Biden, probably the dumbest white man living. I mean, if you're going to pick somebody not to like, pick somebody like that that's stupid. Can I get an amen? But they've taught our children woke stuff. They've eliminated God from the curriculum, and they're going to reap all this sooner or later because sooner or later, and I'm going to get to it, the wrath of God is coming. I never can remember the phrase in that movie Tombstone. It's a famous phrase. He put it on the posters. It's in Tombstone. Kurt Russell and him walking down the street, and there's a thing under it that says, vengeance is coming. Anyway, is everybody tracking so far? I will never forget when we went up to Arizona State University, and I felt bad for Anna. She had to go to college through the COVID-19 thing, and so she spent about a year and a half doing everything online. She only actually got to experience the campus for about a year. Never went to one ASU football or basketball game, which was probably a blessing. Amen. I never will forget that at that graduation ceremony, the president of that university stood up and said he is so excited because the world's getting better and better. And I thought, what in the world's he going to say next? And he said, because we live in a world now where anybody can marry anybody they want. That's a total violation of God's laws. And then what he really meant too, and it meant if you want to cut off any of your sexual organs, you can go do that too. That's the leaders of our universities. They're God haters. They're Christian haters. They're Jew haters. And they're in America right now. And we're going to wake up one morning and it's not going to be good. It wasn't because God's pronounced judgment on America. Of all the places that God wouldn't pronounce judgment, if you go that way, it would be the United States of America, because at least we have the most effect on getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Ministries like Franklin Graham, what a great man. What a great man. What a great man. What a great ministry. Somebody give me some more names that's out there. You know, all over America, there's voices out there that are, you know, now some of these televangelists and some of these folks, they're cowards. They ought to be they're worried they're going to lose their mailing list and their money and their airplanes. Am I right, Jerry? It's ridiculous. Stand up and make a stand. Where's the voice of these people? Where's the Beth Moores and all these people that would voice opposition to how women are acting? Amen. Praise God. But again, part of the reason why I don't mind them keeping their mouth shut is they're going to tell everybody this is God's judgment. No, it's man's judgment on man. That's what it is. It's man's judgment on man. And the world will never be at peace. The world will never peace on earth. Goodwill towards man was God and man, not man and man. There will always be wars and rumors of wars, and there will always be people trying to kill Jews and Christians. Can I get an amen? So that's going to be my last post about politics. And I'm only going to post my Life in Christ church sermons, because it breaks my heart that only 16 people responded to that bit of information, and most of them weren't even people that were associated with this ministry. And again, I'm not bad-mouthing y'all. I don't even know how Facebook works. I don't know how many people get on there every day and look at it anyway. Most of you have a life. Sarah's probably working 40, 50 hours a week, I'm guessing. Amen. And I'm working my 15 hours. And so I'm extremely busy. I understand that. But amen. Amen. But listen, folks. Listen, I'm telling you right now. They're coming. They're coming. They hate Israel and they hate America. And the problem that we got is in our country now is internally there are a bunch of people that are actually pro-Arab, pro-Palestinian. And again, the Palestinian people in and of themselves, you know what, I ain't going there. They all hate Jews. And I'm going to tell you one other thing before I get into the sermon and some good news. Most of the people in the federal government are smokescreening you. Most of them behind the scenes are more for the Arabs than they are for the Jews. But they have to support the Jews. Politicians have to put a front up like they're supporting the Jews because they need their money to get elected. And the most mysterious thing to me, Jewish people whom God loves and whom I love, how in the name of Almighty God can the majority of y'all vote for Democrats? How in the world is that humanly possible? And then one other thing. A guy texted me, an absolute regular listener, faithful to this ministry for many, many years. He said, I was so surprised you didn't come down about Israel last week. I said, just give me one more week. I'm developing my thinking. He's a regular, consistent listener to the ministry, and he's a regular, he's a giver to the ministry. But if you had this We Believe page, so everybody understands, this is not God's wrath. This is man's judgment upon man. This is the devil being the god of this world, where there's always been wars, rumors of wars. There's always been people hate each other. And so the reason why America stayed safe for as long as it did is because we were protected by an ocean. And we could control Mexico. And up to about 2 or 3 years ago, we used to control Canada. But they've completely lost their mind. They got a guy running their country that is a kook. Are you listening to me? Woke. Woke. Praise the Lord. So hard not to cuss sometimes, but you feel like if you cuss, people might think, who is that guy? All right. Anyway, I put out our new statement of faith, and James was kind enough to do it in a little bit better format. In my statement of faith, you'll notice that I spent the vast majority, again, I told you in the past, I copied the first part of this from an Assemblies of God statement of faith. You know, we believe in the infallibility of the Word of God, and we believe there's only one God. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then this part about people need a Savior, virtually every bit of that's my that's me. Virtually every bit of that, that's me. See where it says in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues? How many of you know that's me? That's mostly me. When you see this, we believe that God created a man as a free moral agent, you see that that's me. When you see that we do not believe in the concept of the sovereignty of God, you see where I said in supernatural healing, all that I wrote on that, we went through this. We had a great time talking about healing. I wrote that. That's me. You see where it says in the resurrection? See where it says in the resurrection on this thing on the second page? Here's what I said. Of both the saved and the lost, the one to everlasting life and the other to judgment and everlasting damnation. You know why I didn't go into any more detail on that? That's about all I know. I'm telling you right now, the mistake ministers make is you only should teach people what you have a revelation of. You can't last if you're using somebody else's revelation. You won't last. There's too much condemnation. There's too much persecution. But if you have a revelation from God and you know God told you these things, then you'll be all right, because you got to stand up for what God's revealed to you. So the majority of stuff on this statement of faith has been revealed to me, and I've taught it consistently for 27 years. Can I get an amen? Have you ever walked into this building and heard me tell you that God wanted bad things to happen to you? Have you ever heard me say that? You know why you never heard me say that? Because God told me personally in one of my prayer moments years ago, reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting man's trespasses against them, but has canceled them. And God spoke into my heart and said, son, I'm not doing bad things to people. When God spoke that into my heart, don't worry about what anybody else says. God spoke that into my heart. When I found out that I'm saved by faith, but I'm only able to use my faith to the level that I understand what God has provided to me by grace, it changed my life. And God spoke that directly to me through a television screen. It was a unique thing. Anyway, we had some wonderful people that came to our church for, I guess a couple of years. He was a soldier. And of course, I know it's Mike and Nicole O'Malley. I got it. Now, if you ask me to name his kids, forget it, because I don't know most of y'all's kids' names. They came here for a couple of years, and he was a graduate of Karis Bible College up in Woodland Park, Colorado. And I, being me, I have some flaws, and one of my flaws is that I don't really pay much attention to anything but what I'm learning. Anyway, and I just assumed that he was just part of the Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Creflo Dollar, Fred Price School, and I never really gotten any deep conversations with the man at all, but he did, him and Pete Wilkins did get me interested in studying a little bit about grace. I'm sitting, this was before we did the addition to the house where I had my own personal man cave that I never go to anyway. That's another thing that's overrated. I don't ever end up back there. I'm out there with her. Watch that House Hunters. And what's some other things we watch? Fixer Upper specials. Anyway, but so in the day, I would go to my bedroom, and she would be out there watching some of that stuff, and we had a TV in my bedroom. And full disclosure, I had watched Andrew Womack in the past, and full disclosure, I never got through one of his programs that I didn't fall asleep. It was the greatest cure for insomnia known to mankind. I am not kidding you. You got to learn how to appreciate him. You'll like him better if you read him. You'll like him. His books are phenomenal, and they're easy to read. But he's on TV, and he's talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. And as Almighty God is my witness, if I'm lying, I'm dying. It no longer was, he was on that TV screen, and it was not really just him. He was speaking in that bedroom directly to me. And here's the thing about revelation from God. When I get it instantly. And I saw it. I saw that we had missed it in the faith arena because we put so much prominence on faith, thinking that our faith was going to cause God to do something for us, not understanding that God's already done everything he's going to do. You have to find out what he gave you by grace, and then faith appropriates it. God is my witness. He was speaking those words. He was speaking directly. It was like it was in slow motion, literally in slow motion. Finished the humorous part of the story. Teresa will back me up on that. I got the revelation. I walked out to the TV area and the kitchen area like that. And I said, Teresa, we've got it wrong. And I'll never forget. She said, which part? She did. She said, which part? And I've spent the last 11 years teaching people this great truth. And it'll change your whole life. It'll change your whole life if you get it. But I got revelation on it. Does that make sense? I have little revelation on the end times. I have tried my absolute best to connect the dots, and every time I try to connect the dots, I change my mind. Sometimes I believe there's going to be a rapture of the church. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like a nut, and sometimes I don't. I can't get the dots connected. But I know one thing for sure, and this is the sermon title today. I know one thing for sure. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back, and I know a few things about it, and I'm only going to share my limited knowledge along these areas and only share things that I've gotten a little revelation on, but I don't have as near revelation on this as I should, but I can't get it connected in the scriptures. I can connect everything I teach along the lines that I teach, I can connect you to scriptures. Can somebody say amen on that? I don't just throw one verse up. I throw a bunch of them up, don't I, Jazz? Maybe too many for your liking, but I do throw them up. So we're going to start and tell you that Jesus is coming back. Before we put the verses up, Jesus said he was coming back. The angel in the book of Acts said he was coming back. Paul, the apostle who wrote 13 books in the New Testament, said he was coming back. And Peter said he was coming back. And John the Revelator said he was coming back. So I would say, if I was going to trust anybody theologically, I would go with Jesus, the angels, Paul, Peter, and John. We won't put Ringo in that mix because he's not in the Bible. If you get that reference, you're my age. Okay, so let's just read some verses. That's all I'm going to do today, and I'm going to tell you that we need to pray. Oh, gosh, we don't have the internet. I need to tell you that we sent $1,000. I got on the phone and with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I called them on the phone. I said, look, we're going to give you a donation, but I want it to go directly over to Israel. We don't want it to go nowhere else. She said, sir, you got my promise on it. And you could hear in the background that phone, you could hear people, they're getting calls from all over. If you know anything about the Bible, you got to love. I love Abraham. Abraham's the reason why we're saved. Do you know that? Abraham's the only one that said, I'll leave and I'll become your, I'll go do what you tell me to do. Amen. So we sent them $1,000. And so last week's offering, we might as well tell you that real quick. And it went directly to the Jews. Last week's offering was $1,183. Yeah, I want that on the radio anyway. I want these people to know that we give our money away. Most of our money we give away. Also, let me tell you about this. We gave $1,000 to CareNet, but we didn't reserve a table this year because they called me and told me that they'd like me to MC it and that they would like to present an award to Life in Christ Church for how much money we gave, and they'd like for us to sit at the table with them. So Bryant and Leslie's going to be there as the people that's been here as right-hand people. I want y'all to go up and receive that with me. And let's go up and talk about some people while we're up there. Anyway, so we don't have a table, sir. We don't have a table, but we're going to be there. I'm going to be emceeing. I got a couple of new jokes to tell. So let's go through to these verses, and let's start with what Jesus said. Jesus is talking, and you know how I get. If I read a verse, I've got some stuff to say. Everybody say this. Jesus is talking. Do you believe he's God?
Yes.
Do you believe he knows what he's talking about?
Yes.
Do you trust what he says?
Yes.
So he says this, but in those days, after that tribulation, and again, I can't tie the dots up together, but I know certain things. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Now, I've been around for 64 years, and I don't know of any moment where the sun's been dark. By the way, that's bad, and that the moon won't give its light. Anybody been around when you woke up? Now, we had an eclipse yesterday. Did you know that? One of my guys, I played in a golf tournament, finished third in a scramble with Veritas, but he had some of these glasses where you could look up at the eclipse. It was fascinating. He was fascinated by it. Anyway, but see, this is further illustration that this is not God's wrath, because when God's wrath comes, the sun's going to be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. Everybody cool? All I can share is what I glean from the scriptures. So this is not the wrath of God on the world. God is, and I'm going to get to that verse in a minute. This is simply the devil doing what he's always done, stealing, killing, and destroying. Say that. Stealing, killing, and destroying. Of course, we got to give the good news part. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that don't mean you're going to drive a Cadillac and have your own jet airplane. It means you're going to live a life of abundance because you're going to be at peace with yourself and your loved ones, and you're going to be healthy in your mind, soul, body. Everybody cool with that? And if you do that and you live in America, you ought to have some money, because somebody ought to want to hire somebody like that. I don't want to hire a loafer. I'm so proud of my son. He goes to work, works hard 8 hours a day. I keep thinking he's going to come in and say, Dad, my feet hurt. Is there anything else I can do? But he's hanging in there. Amen. Amen. They ought to hire a guy like that as a Christian. You try not to cuss at the store too, don't you, Jordan? You try not to cuss. He says just every once in a while, the pressure gets to me, Dad, and I have to let out one. And I said, well, do it in secret. I said, I do it at the golf course, and Frank don't know about it. Amen? Y'all follow me? Has the sun been darkened since you've been around? Has the moon not give its light? Do you get up tomorrow morning, maybe, and the sun's going to come up? Is the moon going to be out in the sky? Follow me. Next verse. The stars of heaven will fall. Wow, I don't have any stars falling on me. And the powers in the heavens will be shaken. So this is not the end of time. It could be the beginning of the end of time, but this is not God doing this. This is the devil. But watch this. Keep going. Verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. See, that's why I struggle with the rapture, because it says he's coming when these things have occurred. And I go in and out on whether he's coming twice. See, the pre-tribbers say he's coming twice. He's coming once to get us, and then he's coming once to get vengeance. But if I had to give you full honesty, from my reading of the scriptures, I think he's coming once. But again, I'm no expert. And I know one thing, when he does come, I'm going with him. And you are too. Can I get an amen? Next verse, Jordan. So then, in the book of Acts, he's been raised from the dead. Remember that? Most of his disciples didn't believe it. He had to talk them into it, because doubt and unbelief is rampant in our world, even in the church. We're baptized in it. Jesus standing before them. The Bible says some doubted. Amen? Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Which way is heaven? Up. It's the third heaven. It's a long ways out there. Long, 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 light years away. That's why sometimes it took angels a certain period of time to get where they needed to get to. You listening to me? But Jesus went up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, two men, it's understood these two men were angels, two men stood by them. And this seems to be the dress code in heaven. I'm sorry if you like green or Fabergé, or is that a color? I'm sorry if you like green or violet or obtuse. I don't know. It seems to me that in heaven we're all going to run around in white. Amen. Not because God's white and he likes white people better than dark-skinned people. He loves all people. And so white-skinned people and dark-skinned people are going to be in white. And the dark-skinned people will probably look better, because it'll just accentuate the skin. I'll look pale, maybe. Anyway, so two men stood by them in white apparel. Look what they said in verse 11. Who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Everybody say it. This same Jesus. Jesus, not a new Jesus, not a different Jesus. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Same Jesus. The one that was ascended and sit down at the right hand of God is the same Jesus that's coming back in great glory and honor. You listening to me? Now keep going. So Jesus said he's coming back. The angel said he's coming back. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books in the New Testament, listen to this. I'm just trying to show you the timeline so you'll understand what's going on here. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. That is going to happen. That is going to happen. Everybody tracking? Does everybody understand we live in grace right now? Everybody know we live in grace? Any ministers out there, as soon as 9/11 came up, good man of God, Pat Robinson's a wonderful man, done more for God than I'll ever do in my entire life. But several of them, him and Jerry Falwell, said that the 9/11 attacks were the judgment of God on America. No, it was the devil attacking us and trying to kill our citizens. Amen. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm going to show you why I know that. See, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay. And by the way, let me say this. The Lord just told me to say this. And I don't know if people understand that, but when you're under the anointing, you're not doing this by yourself. If I was doing this by myself, I'd have quit 27 years in? I'd have quit 24 years. I'd have quit 3 years in. Guarantee you. Because the luster wears off of man. Man, I get to stand in front of people and talk. That don't last but maybe 3 years because I had a pretty good ego, but that left. But if you're doing it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and you know that he's telling you these things, you have the ability to do it, right? Not always, never easy, never easy. Hard to be rejected. But Jesus got rejected. The world hated Jesus. The devil hates Jews and he hates Christians because he hates God. And it was through the Judeo-Christian biblical view that brought the Messiah into the earth and he crushed his head. He knows he's beat. We just don't know it. Amen? So it says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, verse 7, and to give you who are troubled rest with us. Listen to this. When's this going to happen? When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, Jesus warned you, there's going to be people say Jesus has come. He's already come. And Paul said, don't pay attention to that. So why do we know that the tribulation that God's talking about is not here? Because Jesus hadn't appeared yet. Jesus, y'all see that? Look at this. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Got that? Now watch this next verse. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That hadn't happened yet. It's going to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. If it happens this afternoon, I'm fine with it. Amen? But it hadn't happened yet. But the events that's going on in the Middle East gets everybody thinking about, is it the end time? And it could very well be the start of the end time because the Bible clearly teaches the limited amount of knowledge I know about the end time stuff. The Bible clearly teaches that when Israel begins to be surrounded and invaded from the north, specifically from the north, most Bible scholars or end time scholars believe that that was going to be Russia. I wouldn't put anything past Vladimir Putin. Some people think it's going to be China, but they're talking about the next attack is not going to come from Hamas, but it's going to come from the north, from Hezbollah. And I don't know anything about any of that. I should have studied it up better. But I'm telling you, if they start getting surrounded, there is a Bible verse that says Jesus is going to come and sit on the throne at Jerusalem and take care of business. He will take care of business. You'll know it's God. It ain't going to be some nuclear weapon that some man created. It's going to be the wrath of God. The four horsemen are going to gallop in. I've read the book of Revelation 3 times, so give me a little credit. Amen? I bet I've read every epistle. I bet you I've read every epistle, no exaggeration, hundreds of times. But I get over there in the Revelation. By the way, the book of Revelation is a good book to read if for no other reason it has some of the greatest prayers to God in all the Bible. And it has some of the greatest exaltations to Jesus Christ and God the Father. Next, Jordan. Does everybody understand that? These shall be punished. This is the greatest tragedy in all of history. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's hell. That's what hell is. Hell is when you don't have God and you never have a chance to have him. Because in him we live and move and have our being. Now, has that happened yet? No. No. Jesus hadn't showed up yet. Is he going to come back? He said he would. The angel said he would. Paul said he would. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Glorified in his saints, not glorified in sinners. What's going to happen to sinners? Vengeance. Vengeance. Amen. All right, now, go to 2 Peter. This is really important. 2 Peter, I've taught this verse many, many times from a different angle, but I want to read it again. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What Peter was talking about is that there were people, there were scoffers that were saying, see, there's no doubt in my mind that all these guys thought that Jesus was coming back quickly. There's no doubt about it. Paul, I think it was one of the things that allowed Paul to go through what he went through, because he knew Jesus was going to come back any moment. The early church believed that Jesus was coming back. And so the verses before this, they talk about scoffers are saying, where's the return of this Jesus you're talking about? See? And I'm sure you may have heard that in your Christian walk, you know. So here's Peter's answer. Here's Peter's answer. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The promise he's talking about is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise, right? That's what he's talking about. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Can I get an amen on that? Can I get another amen? That's a double amen. That's a double dose. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So make it, let's be clear. God does not hate the Palestinian people. God doesn't even hate those terrorists, those evil, evil, corrupt people. But they're going to get judgment pronounced on them because Jesus is coming back, and if they don't repent, they're going to pay for all that nonsense. Don't ever forget it. But he loves everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think soldiers during the Iraq War and all that stuff y'all had to go through in Afghanistan, you were not allowed to take a Bible over there, were you? You couldn't have a Bible? You could? I thought they wouldn't let you have a Bible. Muslims kill anybody that converts. They find out they convert to Christianity, they kill you. What's that tell you? What's that tell you? Listen, what's that tell you? When the Bible, the heroes of the old covenant in the Bible are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know who the heroes are in the Quran? Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau. Now, you don't have to be very smart to figure out what that's all about. That's called counterfeit. That's counterfeit. Do you think God would appear to somebody and tell him those were the heroes of the Bible and tell Abraham something different? God's not schizophrenic. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a friend of the Jew. He's a friend of Abraham. And he has, there are certain promises that are promised to them. And rest assured, God will take care of them. Don't trust your government. Don't trust it. Don't trust it. All kinds of pro-Palestinian, pro-Arab people in it. Don't trust any higher education places. Don't do it. They're evil. They're evil. Okay? All right, so Peter says, well, the reason why he hadn't come back is you don't want anybody to perish. If you don't want anybody to perish, how are they not going to perish? Oh, I know. Here's what the church will tell you. Here's what every church in town is probably telling everybody. My God, we got to pray. And there is a scripture that says pray for the peace of Israel. Franklin Graham, I support that. But that's not what's going to get anything accomplished. What's going to get something accomplished is somebody to have the courage to teach Jesus and him crucified. Preach Jesus and him crucified. And then they receive it. Faith comes by hearing. And then their heart changes. You listening to me? And again, people hear this and say, well, one minister said, I don't really like talking to you because you're against prayer. I said, you're not listening to a word I'm saying. I'm not against prayer. I need to do more of it. And especially if you have the gift of tongues, you ought to pray in tongues all the time. Amen. I don't do that enough. I'm not against prayer, but prayer has a place because it's primarily designed so that you stay connected enough to God so you can hear what he wants you to go tell somebody. Amen. That's the truth. And you stay connected to God so you can stay empowered, spirit, soul, and body. Right? Not against prayer, but prayer won't get anybody saved. You can't pray anybody to heaven. Can't. If you could, there's all kinds of people I'd like to pray into heaven. All right? Somebody's got to tell them the good news. That's why we're on the radio and on the internet. So what's he say in the next verse? Watch this. Watch this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I'm just trying to show you. This hadn't happened yet, but it is going to happen. Everybody follow what the theme of this message is? It hasn't happened yet, but it is going to happen. It's a promise of Scripture. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Has that happened yet? Frankie, as far as I know, we're on the earth right now and it's rotating. If it wasn't, we'd be falling off of it. Right? Now, you know something? I'll just bring this up for free. One of my favorite ministers and a great Bible teacher was Frederick Price. He taught that there wasn't going to be a new heaven or a new earth. And I'm thinking, how, Fred? Peter says it and Revelation says it. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know. I wish some of these people... And they make these comments, and then they don't go into enough detail for you to find out where they're coming from. I'd like to know where he's coming from. My Bible says both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Man's not going to do that. God's going to do that. Has God done it? No. Why hadn't God done it? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Is God's grace going to eventually come to an end? Yes. Do we know when that is? No. How do I know I don't know when it is? Because Jesus said he didn't know when it is. Of that day and hour, you don't know. Only the Father. So don't be telling everybody that, what day is this right now? October the 15th. Don't tell everybody on November 3rd, Jesus is coming back. Go buy as much toilet paper as you can. Get in your bunker. Amen. That's wrong. Don't do that. Amen. Again, some of the stuff that's happening in our world today could very well be pointing to the end of time. I'm telling you, if we hear that Israel is being invaded on all sides and they're trying to completely wipe them out as a nation, I got to believe that may be it, because Jesus will not allow, God will not allow the Jewish people to be destroyed. And you know the devil's tried to do it forever. Exterminated 6 million of them. Let me say one other thing. These people that are denying these things, the evil and the atrocities that were done to these people, and they're going on TV and said, oh, that didn't really happen. See, the devil knows if you go on TV and say, I mean, that's Joe Biden's done it for 2.5 years. He just goes on TV and lies. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, it's pitiful. This stuff did happen. They did exterminate 6 million Jews. There's people that say that was made up. Didn't happen. And these senators, I mean, these congresswomen that are up here, these AOCs and that Tlaib, anybody know her name, got her real name? They call them the squad. I call them the devil squad. That's what I call them. And they will, for the life of them, they can't bring themselves to say anything good about what happened to those, or how bad what happened to those people in Israel. They can't do it. You know why? Because they hate them. Don't forget it. And there's a bunch of people in high places in our government that also feel that way. They're talking on one side in front of the TV saying, we got Israel's back. We'll do everything they can. And he's already said they want to invade. And listen to the compassion of the Israeli people. They're giving them 24 hours to get out, the innocent civilians. They're giving them 24 hours to leave. None of the Arab nations will take them because they're all thugs. And Israel's giving them 24 hours to get out. And did Hamas give anybody any time to get out? Did they care if you got out? Did they care if they killed babies? Did they care if they killed women and children, raped them? Did they care? No. Any clear-thinking person can see the difference in the reality of who they represent. You know, the Jewish people have made the horrible mistake of rejecting Jesus Christ, but they still hold to the Ten Commandments because that's in Exodus. And they like Exodus. They're not real crazy about the Gospels. Are you listening to me? Amen. Behold, this is John the Revelator. Now this, and this is so fascinating. This is fascinating. And this will tie in with what I just said. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Does that back up what the angel said? Does that back up what Jesus said? Does that back up what Peter said? Does that back up what Paul said? Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all, listen, see, this is what people misunderstand. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Why are they going to mourn? Because they're going to find out everything Christians talked about was true. Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back with his holy angels. He's coming back to take the rightful place that belongs to him, and that's the ruler of the earth for 1,000 years for sure. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. But look at that. They're going to be sad. It says every eye is going to see him. So it's going to be a major. I don't know how God's going to do it. He's going to do it in Ultra K, 4K or something. Amen. But every eye will see him. But if you think about it, everybody's going to have, if you think about it, that's probably why we have cell phones and iPhones. And all you got to do is click a button and you can watch it. Amen. What's the church going to do when he comes? Whew. Glory. I might even say to him, Lord, maybe the length was a little longer than we expected. No, heck no. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Listen to this. Even so, amen. So let me finish. Go to the last book in Revelation, Jordan, and then let's stand up on our feet. Thank y'all. Revelation 22:19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Now, I got to teach you that. See, the Bible is made up of three truths. Past truth, present truth, which is what we live in, and future truth. See, the book of Revelation is a prophecy that hasn't happened yet. Follow me? Y'all listening? See, I know a little bit more about the end times than I act like, but I don't know enough to say I'm convinced on certain things. You know what I'm saying? And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That makes it worth reading it by itself. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things, John the Apostle, he who testifies to these things says, surely, you know what? That's wrong. You know who's testifying to these things? That's Jesus. See, this was the revelation of Jesus Christ through the Apostle John. He who testifies to these things says, surely, how do I know it's Jesus? Surely I am coming quickly. Man, his watch is a lot different than mine. Isn't it? Isn't it a lot different? But we know from reading Peter that 1,000 years with the Lord is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. So if you look at it like that, how many days has Jesus been gone? 2 days. He who testifies to these things says, this is Jesus. Jesus, this was the prophecy, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Say it out loud, everybody. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And then let's finish the last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Now listen, if you're listening by radio or internet, of course you won't listen by radio until next week, but if you get on the internet and hear this right away, that's what we want you to know about. We want you to understand that you have to have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be imputed into your spirit. It has to be given to you by faith in Him. So don't wait another minute. Don't wait another minute. Today's the day for you to come into contact with your Creator through His Son, Jesus Christ. Simply pray this prayer from your heart and mean it. Say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe He lived. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He rose from the dead for my justification. And I believe that He's coming back. I announce by faith that the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to me. In Jesus' name. Father, thank You so much. Thank You that nothing's going on that You don't know about. Thank You. Thank You that we need to keep raising up people that'll be a voice in the wilderness and say, make ways, make straight the path for the Lord. Get ready. Come on. Today's the day of salvation. And so we just give You the honor and glory. We ask for Your empowerment. We're strengthened with all might in our spirit so we can tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. It's in His holy and glorious and mighty name we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. You know, it looks like a big crowd when y'all sit on one side.